Father, we pray that you would bless Dennis and Marilyn Maves as they come and share with us some of the exciting things that are going on in Mongolia and also some of the personal ways in which you have ministered to them in recent weeks. Use this time not only to be an encouragement to them, but an encouragement to us that we would continue to follow you very closely and wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Dennis and Marilyn most recently have been serving in Mongolia. They can give you the number of years and all of that. I don't have that information, but Dennis was here 5 years ago on furlough. Were you here with him also? Yes, and we enjoyed their ministry and are so glad to have them back. We ran into them at Eldora's funeral that they were here for just a week ago, and I wanted to invite them back, not so that I could get out of preaching today, but so that I could hear them before we leave. So it's so good to have you back and to hear what God's been doing in your lives personally and in Mongolia over the last 4 years. So come on up. I think Marilyn, you're first, and then Dennis, if you would follow.
Thank you so much, Pastor. It's a joy for us to be able to be here with you today and to share a little bit more about what God is doing in Mongolia. Dan and I are just finishing up our 10 years of serving in Mongolia. We're just coming to the end of our year of home assignment. Before that, we served for 25 years in the Philippines. We served with Terry and Eldora. They were our colleagues there. And we had the joy and privilege of working there for 25 years. And then as that field closed down, we were asked to go to Mongolia. And when we went there, there was nothing the same. Nothing at all. The climate was completely different. The culture was completely different. The look of the land was completely different. And the church was completely different. Mongolia had been a country that had been under darkness for centuries. For 300 years, they were ruled by the Chinese. And during that time, Buddhism was introduced to the country. And then after that, in the early 1900s, communism, they were the second communist country after communist Russia. A Mongolian warrior went to Russia and said, "Would you help us get rid of the Chinese? We are tired of our Chinese oppression." And so the Russians came and fought alongside the Mongolians and pushed the Chinese back into China. And then Mongolia became the second communist country under communist Russia. And so they were under that blanket of communism for another 70 years before they opened up to the West and to the gospel in the early 1990s. So over 300 years of being under that darkness. And so when we left the Philippines, we had a privilege as the CNMA to be there for over 100 years. The Philippines had been opened to Protestantism and the church for over 100 years. And so when we went to Mongolia, it had only been opened since the early 1990s. Can you imagine the difference in the church? And so the church, when we went to Mongolia, was just really at the pioneer stages. Was just at the pioneer stages. And so it was all first-generation Christians. All first-generation Christians. Everything was new to them. Everything was new to them. There was no heritage of Christianity in the country. I am privileged to have my parents and grandparents and great-grandparents that I personally knew who walked with the Lord. There is no one in Mongolia that has that heritage. They are all first-generation Christians. So you read about the challenges in the first-generation church? We had them. So the challenges that we had in Mongolia were similar to that. So it was nothing like the challenges we had had in the Philippines. It was completely different. But we praise God for the privilege that we had to be a part of laying foundations in Mongolia. The CNMA had been there since the early 1996 the CNMA had been there. And before that, in the early 1990s, there was only 4 known believers in all of Mongolia. Can you imagine? As late as 1990, there was only 4 known believers in all of Mongolia. And now, the church has come in. There are believers that have come in. The church is growing. And there is now over 10,000 believers. And we praise God for the work that he's doing and the church that is growing. God said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we thank God for the privilege that we had to be a part of building that church in Mongolia for the last 10 years. And it's with sadness that we're leaving, but we praise God for the privilege of being a part of that. And now it's a story, isn't it? It's the story of what God is doing around the world. And God is doing a story here in Little Falls, and we praise God for the work that he is doing here. And God is doing a work in Mongolia. And Den, would you please come forward and share a little bit more with us?
It's a great joy to be back, even a week ago yesterday, to celebrate the life of Eldora. Terry and Eldora serve with excellence in the Philippines, and they left behind a great heritage of a Taboli church. There's string of churches up and down the valleys because of them, and that was a privilege for us to be here a week ago Saturday. I also want to say thank you to all of you, many of you who prayed for my eye. When I was here the other year, I needed a cornea transplant, and my surgeon said, what are you going to do after we do it? I said, I'm returning to Mongolia. Forget it. He said, you're not going back to Mongolia with a new cornea. So I delayed. So I was basically blind in my left eye for 7 years. And a year ago, not this May, but the May when we first came home, I had a cornea transplant. And they sewed my left eye almost shut. And so over a period of months, it was slowly opened. It's still a little bit sewed shut. But praise God, I was blind, but now I can see. Thank you for praying. My vision, before they would say, how many fingers am I holding up? I could not see. It was 400 over 20. But now with corrective lenses, it's 20 over 30 or 30 over 20. So praise the Lord. I can see again. And it's a joy for us to be here to share again with you this Sunday. And I would like to start by putting some things in context. Why do we do what we do? Many people say to us, well, Dennis, why are you doing that? Well, in order to understand where we're going and what we're trying to do and what we've been trying to do, we need to go way, way, way back and look at the big picture. And that's what I want to do, show the big picture and narrow it down and talk specifically about how it's worked out. I don't know if I told you this story, but it reminds me of the middle school class who chose to do their outdoor education by traveling to the Grand Canyon. How many of you have ever been to the Grand Canyon? Good. You know what it's like there. Well, that's what they did. They planned. They went there. They traveled there. They were there. They spent the whole first day in the Grand Canyon. And then that night, their sponsors or teachers said, you should probably write a postcard home to your parents. So all the little sixth graders wrote postcards home, and most of them wrote, Dear Mom and Dad, I love you, or I miss you, or something. But one little sixth grade boy wrote 5 words on his postcard. He wrote, Dear Mom and Dad, today I spit a mile. Yeah, it's a mile down. You know, if you've been there, it's a mile down. And he was on one of those observatory decks, and he honkered up a great big loogie and watched it going down. You see, he didn't get it. he missed it. Here's the great Grand Canyon, this awesome place of God's great real estate, and he didn't get it. He missed it. And you know, so often there's a lot of people that are like that. They don't get the big picture. They miss it. They don't get it. And so to start us off this morning, I want to talk a little bit about the big picture. The big picture. In fact, the big picture relates to the wonderful story of this book. Do you know the story of this book? This book is like every other good book that you read. It has an introduction, it has a body, and it has a conclusion. And you know, some of you read the conclusion before you read the book to see if you are going to waste your time reading the book. I know some of you do that because my wife does that. Well, this wonderful book has an introduction. It's the first 11 chapters in the book of Genesis. And you know the story of God created the earth and the heavens, and he created man, and then the problem of man. He fell into sin and disobeyed God. And you come to around the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, and you remember the story when they were all in one place. God had told them to go throughout the earth and scatter and multiply, but they weren't obeying. And then we read these words in Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words, and it came about as they journeyed east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there, and they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used bricks for stone, and they used tar for mortar, and they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make ourselves a name, otherwise we will be scattered abroad over the face of the earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their languages." And do you know that we're still suffering from that confused language even up until today? When we went to any country, or when people go to any other country around the world to cross those cultural and linguistic boundaries, we're still suffering from this same thing, this same challenge. And then we know the conclusion of this wonderful book, the wonderful story, and it's found in Revelation chapter 7, and I'd like to read that for us this morning. "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation, all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" Church, we know how it's going to end. And then we have the body of that wonderful story that begins in Genesis chapter 12. Beginning in verse 1, Genesis 12, where we have what we call the Abrahamic covenant. Here's the first indication of the heart of God way back here in the beginning. Listen as I read. "Now the Lord said to Abraham, 'Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I'll make you a great nation, and I'll bless you, and I'll make your name great. So you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse.' And then he said, 'In you all of the families of the earth will be blessed.'" Way back here in this book of beginnings, we begin to see the heart of God for blessing the families of earth. And do you know that almost in every book in this wonderful story, some portion of it talks about God's heart for the nations. God wants His glory revealed in the nations. He's jealous for the glory to be revealed in the nations. And so, you know, mission is not the main thing. Worship is the main thing that God's looking for around the world. That's what God is looking for in Mongolia. He's looking for worshipers. And for centuries there was no worship there. None. No worship there. And so you have this wonderful story in the whole Old Testament unfolding about God's heart to reveal His glory, have His glory revealed in the nations through the redemptive work of Christ. Then you come into the New Testament and you have the Great Commission given in Matthew. All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, all peoples, all ethnic groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end. God's great mission. Christ gave this great commission. Now, He didn't just think up something new just before He left and went. He restated the heart of God here in this mission He gave to us, His disciples, and to us, and to the church. And He said, teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. What is that? Well, do you know that when you come to the book of Matthew, it's all about the coming king and His coming kingdom? And so right away in the book of Matthew, you have the most concise, the most intense, the most pure teaching about life in the kingdom found there in the Beatitudes. That's what we teach. That concentration of what life is like in the kingdom. And then that concentrated teaching in the Beatitudes is expanded in the Sermon on the Mount. You know that. That's life in the kingdom. What's it going to be like? Well, here it is, life in the kingdom, found on the Sermon on the Mount that the Lord gave. And then it's expanded even farther as you go into the rest of the Gospels, and you move farther into the teachings of Paul and the letters and the epistles. So what are we part of and what are we trying to do? Well, we're trying to take the story of the gospel to the nations. That's what we're doing. That's what we're connecting ourselves, and that's what we're a part of, and you're a part of. And it's a wonderful privilege we have to be involved in that. So how are we doing? Well, here is a map done by the Joshua Project. It shows where light has come in the world. Notice in North America, the light is shining pretty bright. I mean, this shows up much better in a really dark room, but down into South America, then almost the middle of Africa and down, there's light. Then notice some of the islands are light, including, look at Korean Peninsula. A lot of light. Another way to look at it is look at the map in terms of access to the gospel. Remember, our theme last year was creating access for people in all the green zone were the areas of the world where there's lots of access. And then the yellow, it doesn't show yellow, but northern Russia and the northern Stan countries are the yellow section of the world where there's a little bit of access. And the least reached peoples of the world are found in what I call the red zone. Most all of the unreached peoples of the world are found there in the red zone. And you know what, church? All of the easier places to do mission work is getting completed. Now all the really tough places are left here in the red zone. the really, really tough places. You know, and there are some countries that have some access, but it's not enough to impact them. I say it's like there's not enough splash there to impact their heart. Our regional director, Tim Crouch, worked in Russia for many years. And he said, one of the young ladies they worked with when she was a little girl said, she went to school, and when their regular teacher was absent, the substitute teacher would come and drill them in their lesson. And you know, in Russian culture, when something good happens, they say, praise the Lord. And so she drilled them in their lesson really hard. And then at the end of their lesson, she switched over to her communist propaganda mode. So she said, okay, students, repeat after me. There is no God. So they all, there is no God. And then she said, it's not loud enough. Say it louder. There's no God. They blasted out. Not good enough. Stand up, students. I want to really hear this. There is no God. And they stand up and blast it out as hard as they can say it. And then you know what she said? Praise the Lord. See, there's religious things around, but there's not enough stuff for a person to come to know what it actually would take for them to come to know the Lord Jesus, what it means to be introduced to him, to repent of your sin, to invite Jesus into your heart and life. And so our people are being moved out of other places where we've been a long time into the red zone. That's what happened to us. 82% of our mission staff, of our CNMA mission staff, now works in the red zone. 82%. And as I said, it's the hardest places that are still left. And so in order for those unreached people groups, like thousands of them still, to hear, we must contend with what Paul wrote in Romans. He said, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher or without someone to explain to them how a person could come to know the Savior? How will they know unless someone is there to do that? And how will they preach unless they are sent? And so that's the responsibility God gave to the church, to be a sending church. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of glad tidings. And so we're people all over in the red zone are trying to live creatively. Because, you see, you can't go there as a missionary and get a missionary visa in those places. And so when we arrived in Mongolia, the field had sort of fallen apart, and there were only two couples left on the field. Only two. And this was our last field forum in August 2013. We had Dan Wetzel, our president, a vice president for church ministries, and his wife Iris come and lead our field forum. But this is the team the Lord has built in Mongolia. From two, rebuilding the team. In fact, they were thinking of closing it down. And then they thought, well, what does that say to the Christians when times get difficult and you just up and leave? And so when we arrived, we had a commitment from our leadership at international headquarters to rebuild the team. And praise God, there's now 13 couples and two single ladies from seven different nationalities. Two Korean-American couples, a Vietnamese doctor and his wife, a South African educator and his wife, a Filipino couple and their family, an Aussie, a Brit, and a handful of Yankees from America. And I'm telling you, it's a challenge to keep them all heading in the same direction. But that's the team God brought to Mongolia. And this past term, we've worked really hard at laying a foundation base and getting these people all through language study and out into placement, into ministry. And it was sad for us to leave, but we praise God. They learned the language well. I kept drilling them, look, Mongolia is going to need some long-term people. The only way the church really is going to get built is if people are going to be there and walking with them as they go through these difficult times. And the only way to be able to do that is to learn the language well. And so, like I said, we had to live creatively there because we couldn't get missionary visas. So up on the top, we have Dr. Pham. He's a surgeon. He came to Mongolia and he used medicine as his platform. And you know, he said to me, Dennis, you know, all of these people that I give medicine to and pills, they're all going to die sometime anyhow. So the most important thing that I can do is introduce them to Jesus. So he only used medicine as a way to build relationships. And so he would pray for every patient that came to see him. And the ones that would listen, he would always ask permission. Could I share with you the wonderful good news? He would share the gospel with. And some of them came to believe. Many of them came to believe. And then he realized there's a whole lot of them in one certain area. And then he'd gather them together into a house church. And so there are house churches today because of the ministry of Dr. Pham and the medical ministry. And then we have, we prayed for a center in Ulaanbaatar, and the Lord granted us a center in the middle of the city. And we had a coffee house there as part of it. And the government came in and said, no, you can't have a business in here. That has to be separate. So, okay, we'll separate it. So one of our team members, Eric Wall, and his wife is Christina. She's a Folkstead from up in the Wadena area. Eric got a business visa. And so developed the coffee house in the center of Ulaanbaatar. It's the center for all kinds of ministries. We have the best coffee roasting in the city, in all of Asia, practically, right there in the center of Mongolia, out there in Outer Mongolia. And he's trained all of his workers to minister to people when they come in and buy coffee. And there's all kinds of stuff going on there. So, coffee ministry. It's a great way to meet people. You see, to just talk to someone on the street about the Lord, they won't even listen to you. But if you can build a relationship with them, then they'll listen. These are all relationship-building things we do. And then, of course, Marilyn and Christina Wallen and some of the others were English teachers. They begged us, please teach us English. We need to know English because the mining companies that are coming and they're offering good jobs if you speak English. So here they are begging us, can you teach English? So they put together a really top quality English program and it began to explode. All kinds of professional people coming in to the English classes. So they have their classes on the second floor of the center. And what do they do during break time? They go to the coffee center, buy coffee, and everyone sits around and you have a chance to talk about things. In class, we don't talk about the Bible or that stuff, but personally, we have opportunity to do that, and we invite them to Bible studies and other things. And so some have been baptized and are part of our churches now that came through the English program and the coffee house. So we're coming at them from all sides. We're all working together. They don't have a chance when they get into the system. Remember last time I was here, I said we're praying about moving west because the least reached place in Mongolia is the three western provinces of Hovd, Bayan-Ulgi, and Oves. They're where all the unreached people are. Our main work was around the tri-cities of Ulaanbaatar, Darhan, and Erdenet, sort of a triangle. Most all the Christians are in that triangle and in those cities. But the west, way to the west Nothing. So we sent three couples to the West in November of 2010. And they've developed all kinds of different platforms to get a visa. They have well drilling and water filtration because a lot of air sickness comes from waterborne diseases. They need fresh water. Another one of the guys out in the West saw all these young people just hanging around all over town. So he put together a fitness program, weightlifting. So here's all these tough Mongolians want to, you know, lift weights and work out. Another way, just building relationships so you can be able to speak into their life. When the Russians left Mongolia, they pretty well loaded everything up that wasn't cemented down and left. And one of the things they left was vodka. And Mongolians have the same tendency as the North American Indians to a weakness to alcohol. And so you can go around town and you'll find people stone drunk right on the sidewalk. You have to trip over them. Well, in the summer, that's okay. They'll just sleep it off. But they have to go around town around 9 o'clock in the wintertime and load them all up because there's not enough alcohol in their system to make it through the night. They bring them into a detox and the cycle goes over and over again. You see, alcoholism has ruined the men in Mongolia. Many of them have been kicked out of their homes. Get out of our life. You're a drag on us. Get out of here. You're gone. They're kicked out of their home. They have given up on themselves. Their families have given up on them. The community's given up on them. In fact, the Russian government tried all kinds of things, giving them pills, doing injections, nothing worked. Finally, they said, go and see Dr. Pham in Kama. Maybe he can help you. And so we are flooded by all these people coming and wanting help, and we're not ready. All of a sudden, all these alcoholics are coming for help. Well, we had to get ready, so we sent people away and did training. Now we have a full-fledged Celebrate Recovery program in Mongolia. In fact, our Mongolian person is now the director for all of Mongolia, and it's in prison and other places. You see, everyone's given up on them, but not God. I tell you, church, there's nothing more thrilling in all the world than to see a person delivered from the curse of alcoholism. And like that, their life changes. It's true what the scripture said, isn't it? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then we have a problem in the city because the schools are too overloaded. There's not enough teachers. There's not enough classrooms. And so some go to school in the morning. Some go in the afternoon. So we decided to put up a after school or before school program, a teaching computer skills and teaching English or Korean or what language they want to learn, and tutoring math. And so we have our after-school programs. And those students come during the week whenever their time is, and their parents are thrilled that we're there. There's something for their children to do to help them grow. And then as we minister to those children and their parents, that school, which is a gear often, becomes a house church. And so praise God for all of these, and there are many more different things that we are doing in Mongolia for one purpose only, to see the church built. I keep telling our team, look, whatever you're doing, if it doesn't ultimately relate to helping a person become introduced to Jesus and connected to the church, then maybe we won't do it. And so we praise God. When we came to Mongolia in 2005, there were only 5 Alliance churches. Only 5. But when we left a year ago, there were 17 Alliance churches that have leaders, pastors, functioning elders, and another 12 or something more church plants underway in other parts of the country. And so it's always working through the web of relationships, working with someone knows someone, let's go and visit them. And through the web of relationships, the church is being planted. So thank you for praying for Mongolia. Thank you for praying for those workers around the world that are working in the difficult, difficult places. You know, I like what our new president said when he became president of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. He said, well, what is this thing that I'm going to lead? Who are we? That's a good question for a new president to ask. Who are we? Who are you? Are you just some little church here in Little Falls? No, he said, we're people that have shared beliefs. Doctrines we hold dear to. That's who we are. We have shared things. We have shared values. We have a shared mission. And we have shared relationships. That's what we are. And he said, I think that can best be portrayed as a Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family. I like that. I really like that a lot. Christ-centered. That's it. Christ-centered. Look, church, if Christ isn't center in what we do here week after week, forget it. Don't even come. Because there's no power apart from him to accomplish anything for the kingdom apart from Christ. So, church, let's stay focused on Christ. Christ-centered. It's the only power to accomplish transformation in anything. That's what we're trying to do. Stay focused. Stay on Christ. Stay on his mission. Follow his agenda. Then he said, we're Acts 1-8. You all know that, don't you? You shall be my witnesses both in, two little important words, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and out to the remotest parts of the earth. Both in. You know, people have said to me, well, Dennis, why are you going over there? There's so much to do here at home. Why are you worrying about that? Well, it's part of being obedient to Christ. We don't just do all of Little Falls, and then when that's done, then we think about doing something else. The two words are important there. Both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and it's and. Here in Little Falls, it's important to be a witness. And praise God for where you all live and how you reach out and build relationships and how you minister to young people like you did in DVBS and all the things you do to reach out in your community. That's lining yourself and your church up with God's agenda. Then it's also Jerusalem and Judea. That's district things. Maybe there's a plant, church plant, that needs to be done somewhere in the district where there's no evangelical witness. And then some other ministries in the U.S., maybe a Native American ministry somewhere that we should be praying for and seeing the good news get there. And then out to the remotest parts of the earth, including Outer Mongolia. The last stop on earth. Everything comes in there. It doesn't go on anywhere else. It turns around and comes back out. Then Christ-centered, Acts 1-8, family. We're a family. There's so much more we can do together that we can't do alone. And so who are you? You're a Christ-centered, Acts 1-8, family. That's what we are, a big family, Alliance family. And so I want to thank you as a body here in Little Falls for being part of that family. There's so much more we can do together. And one of the ways we can do that is by being aware of what's going on in the world and praying about it. You know, after 35 years of serving on the mission field, I'm so thankful for praying people. We would have never went to the field if we wouldn't have had it. In fact, I don't even know how it works. I only know one thing. It works. When God's people lift up these needs and these requests before the Lord, God pours out His grace thousands and thousands of miles away, and His work is accomplished. I can't explain it. I don't know how to talk about it. I only know one thing. It works. And you know why it works? It's because it's not about us. It's about Him. And so you can go on this website, and whenever your groups meet together or whatever, you can get up-to-date prayer requests from around the world. Would you take some time when your group meetings, whenever they meet, and pray for some of these requests? Because when you do that, God's work is accomplished. Thank you for praying, church. And you know what? If there was ever a time when those people working in the red zone need the cover of God's people, it's now. Because they're working in some pretty dangerous places. Sometimes when they find out you're a follower of Jesus, they just as soon slit your throat. Hard places are left to be taken care of. In fact, they're going after the Christian families. Now, maybe you've heard about it. You know ISIS, ISIL now? They're going up and down in the Middle East looking for Christian families. And they try to make the children renounce Jesus. They parade the children out in front of the parents, try and make them renounce Jesus. And if they don't, slaughter the children right there in front of their parents. And they have hundreds of them already. None ever renounced Jesus. Good on them. In fact, you know what some have been known to say? We love Jesus more. That's what it's like out there. Church, if there was ever a time people working in the red zone need the cover and protection of God in His work, it's now. Then another way we can work together is through sharing and funding the mission. And thank you for giving sacrificially. You see, we bring our gifts to God when we give to the Great Commission Fund. You don't send it to us. It's given to God as an act of worship. And then it's up to God to get it wherever it needs to go around the world. And I'm thankful for our leadership and our way of doing things. It's the envy of many. We have to give an account for every cent. Every tenth of the month, we have to make a report from our field for every cent that came to Mongolia. And our leaders check up on us, and every 5 years, we have a strategic field review. And they come and look at everything we've done, said, well, you've done that well, and you've done this well, but why are you doing this? Maybe you shouldn't be doing that, and you could do this better. So praise God for that system we have of working together and sharing and being under authority. We all need to be under authority. And then a third way is to get involved. You got a team now in Dominican. Praise God. So all kinds of ways to get involved. Thank you for doing that. It helps keep the fire going and being part of the family, carrying the load as part of the family. And then maybe God's calling some of you. Wouldn't it be neat if God called some more out of Little Falls to be one of His servants, to go to one of those hard places around the world? Oh, that would be wonderful. But it's all part of our responsibility. You see, I see a lot of kids were here, young people, youth that are gone now. We can be praying for them. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray, pray that God will raise up these workers. And so you can look there, places to get involved and serve. Thank God for the privilege of being able to work together as a family, doing it all together as a family. Thank you for sacrificing. Thank you for praying. Thank you for getting involved. You see, God, I believe, has raised us up as an end-timed church. You don't believe end times? Just look at how we're careening out of control in the last year. I believe God is raising us up for some end times work to accomplish His mission. And I want to close with this little story that sort of helps us. You know, one of my earliest recollections of growing up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin was the day when all the neighbors came to help work together. The neighbor came with a great big thrashing machine. He pulled in our long driveway. And then behind him came all the rest of the neighbors. One with a B. John Deere and a wagon. Another one with a red-bellied Ford and a wagon. Even some with teams of horses and a wagon. They came to work together. And my mom would stretch out the kitchen table and put all the leaves in it they could find to make it go as wide as it could go. And there'd sometimes be 20 men around that table, and oh, could they eat. Then after dinner, they'd sit under the willow tree and tell stories for a few minutes. And then they went off to work in the field. And you know, my grandfather and my father did not tell them how to load their bundles, how to load bundles onto their wagon, how to pull into the feeder and unload the bundles, where they could drive and what they could do. They only cared about one thing: bringing in the harvest. And you see, the enemy can attack our teams around the world in this very area when we get our focus off what we're really there for. You can get slighted by some hard feeling because someone said this, or someone has a different method or whatever. And so, church, I'm asking you, if you want to know how to pray for teams around the world, remember this. Pray that God would help them to keep their eyes on the harvest. That's what God helped us with, and that's our prayer for our workers all around the world, that He'd keep their eyes on the harvest. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, what a privilege we have to be part of Your family, to be part of an end times organization that You are raising up to be Your servants, to accomplish Your purpose, to do the big, accomplish the big picture of Your grand agenda, bringing Your glory to the nations, especially those nations and groups of people that have no access. Thank You for all those servants who are serving there today. We pray You'll empower them and fill them with Your Holy Spirit even right now. You'll build a hedge of protection around them. Keep them from the fiery darts of the enemy. Strengthen them for Your accomplished work. And Lord, we pray also for ourselves as we work here in Little Falls, in the ministries that we all have. It's all part of God's grand plan. And we thank You for each one, each family, each adult, each young person and children. Bless them. And may the wonderful grace of God abound through them, helping them to accomplish Your will in their lives each and every day as they keep saying yes to Jesus each day of the week. And we'll be careful to praise You and thank You and worship You, for You alone are worthy. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.